We read in Mark chapter 7. Let's go back to the last story there. The healing of the deaf and mute man, which took place at that moment when it says in verse 34 of chapter 7 of Mark's Gospel that Jesus looked up to heaven and with a deep sigh he said to the man, "Ephphatha," which means "be opened." Ephphatha. Now, we had great drama this week at the Sky in Westeros Presbytery. My colleague in Ullapool, Alistair MacLeod, had been called by a congregation which recently came into the Free Church, the congregation of New Mills in Ayrshire. And that congregation had heard Alistair preach on three occasions and had sent a call to him. And the way it works is that they send two representatives from their congregation up to Presbytery, and two representatives from his congregation in Ullapool came to Presbytery as well. And the two representatives of Ayr, the New Mills congregation, presented reasons why Alistair should go. And the two representatives of Ullapool presented reasons why Alistair should stay in Ullapool. And then Alistair himself had to declare what he felt. And he was clearly in tremendous turmoil. And I know from speaking to him over the last several weeks that he's been had a tremendous struggle to go to New Mills. And that surrounding area has tens of thousands of people with very little gospel ministry. Or to stay in Ullapool, where actually at the moment he is possibly one of the very few, if not the only, evangelical minister in that whole area of northwest Ross and western Sutherland. Maybe not quite, but just about. And he has wrestled with us very much. And Alistair declared his mind that he just had no peace. No peace whatsoever, and therefore he felt that because of that he should just stay in Ullapool. And then the presbytery had to send all these representatives and Alistair out and discuss further whether we felt we should still place the call into his hands or not. And that was difficult for us because we had to try and take into account all the different factors. And eventually we decided not to place the call into his hands, and so Alistair will be staying in Ullapool. We were all emotionally exhausted by the end of the evening, just dealing with that one piece of business, although there were other things that we had to go on and do after that. I was speaking to Alistair later in the week just to see how he was feeling, and he was still in turmoil. I don't think he would mind me saying that, because I think he's saying that quite publicly. He's been in Ullapool for 12 years, and he said, "Well, you know how it is. When you've been in a place for a long time," he said, "you know especially, Roddy," he said, "nothing changes." He says, "you know everyone, you know where they're at, and you know what to expect and what not to expect from them. Nothing changes." And I thought to myself, you know, I know exactly what you're talking about. Do you know what I'm talking about? Everyone finds their level. Everyone says to Jesus, "I'll do this for you. I'll go this far for you. But I won't go further." And yet there we were at Presbytery, emotionally exhausted, trying to decide on what best to do to advance the kingdom of Christ, particularly through Alistair's ministry. Advancement takes emotion. It takes effort. There is cost. And if we decide that we're not going to pay the cost, if we decide we're going to stick at a particular point and just say, "Well, I'm not going to do any more than this," we stop advancing. And as Alistair says, nothing changes. Have you made that kind of decision in your life? You're not going to go past a certain amount of commitment. And so nothing changes for you. I know that some of you are, as far as I can see, in just about exactly the same spiritual spot that you were 27 years ago when I first got to know you. And I find that desperately sad. Unless we're prepared to put in effort and to put in energy and emotion, nothing changes. Jesus puts an effort here. Emotion. Back at verse 24, he leaves Galilee. He goes up to Tyre. Verse 31, he goes past Tyre up to Sidon. And then he comes all the way back down through Galilee to the south of Galilee, to Decapolis, the southeast of Galilee. That's a journey of about 100 miles on foot. Last time he was in Decapolis, in chapter 5 of Mark's Gospel, he was rejected. They told him to clear off. They didn't want him there. The reason, or one of the reasons why he's out in the Gentile areas just now, is because he's got so many death threats. It's just not safe for him to continue in Galilee, because his time is not yet for him to go and die on a cross. Wherever he goes, there's demands. He can't. He wants to be alone. You see that in verse 24, for example. But wherever he goes, people find him. Crowds find him. The work of advancing God's kingdom is demanding to Jesus. In verse 32, people bring their needs to him. And Jesus has to take them away, the people's who he wants to minister to, away from the crowd. Because the crowd is pressing in all the time, demanding, costly, emotion, effort. And verse 34, when he comes to the point of advancing the kingdom of God in this man's life by healing him, you see there's more effort. A deep sigh. There is a tremendous emotion involved here, and in this word Ephphatha, finally uttered. With an effort, Jesus opens what no one else has been able to open: the man's mouth and lips and ears. Over the next few Sunday evenings, we're going to look at some very special words in the New Testament. We're going to look at some words that are recorded for us in the language in which they were spoken, so that we actually hear exactly what Jesus said. Ephphatha. There are a few occasions when this happens. We're going to look at them. We're going to hear the words that were actually spoken 2,000 years ago in the language of the Jews. Does anyone know what language that was? What language is the word Ephphatha in? Anyone know? It's not Gaelic, no. It's not Gaelic. Aramaic. It's good that our elders know these things. Aramaic. It was the language that they all spoke in the Jewish areas. Aramaic. It's a language they took back from when they were in exile in Babylon with them. And it's a wonderful language. I don't know any of it at all. We didn't study it at all. But it's a wonderful language. It's there. In that word. Be opened. Ephphatha. And it'll take us, as we look at these words, through some wonderful gospel themes. But tonight, the theme I really want to bring out of this is the effort required to make things better. Be opened. This morning I went for a new jar of marmalade in the cupboard, and I strained and I stressed on how to get a bit of sugar around it. It had been in the cupboard for a few months. I couldn't open it. If Arthur, but I couldn't open it. It wouldn't do it. I had to get one of these kind of things for opening jar lids, and got it open that way. Of course, if I'd given it to Margaret, she'd have just gone. But anyway. Be opened. There's effort. It's like a rusty door that hasn't been opened for a long time, and you put your shoulder to it and push it and it opens. It's like a drain that's all silted up, and you have to open it, and you dig around it, and you lever up the lid, and eventually you get the lid off. There's effort involved. No one has been able to open this man's ears. No one has been able to open his lips so that he speaks clearly. But in verse 35, Jesus does. Verse 35 literally says, and immediately his hearings were opened, and the chain of his tongue was loosed, and he spoke correctly. That's what it says literally. The chain of his tongue, his hearings were opened, and the chain of his tongue was loosed. No one else had managed it. But Jesus does, but not without a cost. Not without effort. A deep sigh. Power has gone out from him. Remember how he says that when he heals the woman with the issue of blood? He senses that power has gone out from him. Chains have to be broken. Things stuck closed have to be opened. It's hard work. Jesus is weary. He's tired from a long journey. He's wearied by the crowds. He's strained by all the threats he has to endure. He's burdened by the blindness of Israel and of the Gentiles. He's moved at this man's plight. There's effort involved in the kingdom, in moving things forward. Have you noticed that? Have you noticed the effort involved? The emotion that must be expended to make things better? Have you sensed that as you pray? As you try to share Jesus with other people? As you try to show compassion to people in need? As you try to give pastoral support? As you try to do new things like teach children about Jesus, or take meetings, lead meetings, get involved in the holiday club. There's sacrifices, helping those who've been bereaved, helping the sick. There are sacrifices involved. Do you share in that effort to advance the kingdom of Jesus? Do you sigh? Do you put forth energy and seek to open that which shouldn't be closed, which in the name of Jesus should be opened up to God? It doesn't just stop after one expenditure of effort. It keeps going. In Matthew's version of this time, he doesn't tell us a story about the deaf and the mute man. But he tells us this, Matthew 15 verse 30. Great crowds came to Jesus, bringing the lame, the blind, the crippled, the mute, and many others, and laid them at his feet, and he healed them. So it wasn't just this man. There was another man. And then there was a woman. And then there was a wee boy. And then there was a girl. And then there was an old lady. And they just kept coming, and they kept coming, and they kept coming. It's incessant. Ministry is like that. It's costly. And it just keeps coming. I confess I have felt the sinful emotion of envy recently. Alec MacDonald was with us a couple of weeks ago. I envied him because he's retired. That doesn't mean he's doing nothing. It certainly does not. I thought it'd be nice to be retired. But the Free Church isn't like the police. You can't retire at 50. my colleague up in Gerlach, Alistair MacLeod, not the Alistair in Ullapore, two different Alistairs, he retired this week. I'm envious because I'm knackered at the moment. I'm tired. I thought, that would be nice to be retired. My colleague in Grace Community Church, John Murdo MacDonald, just retired, about 3 weeks ago. And he's been able to take time off, go away and spend some time in Lewis. I'm sure some of you say that it's always going to be a great thing to do. Well, he loves doing that. Going down to Keswick Convention shortly. That's nice. It's great to be retired. But for all of these men, they're not going to hang up their dog collars, as it were. They're not going to stop preaching. They're not going to stop caring for people. They're not going to stop ministering. Because you can't retire from the kingdom of God unless you decide you're going to stop moving and nothing's going to change anymore. There will always be needs. There will always be a queue, just like there was for Jesus here. You can't retire. God's word promises rest, but not on retirement. Not when you take your holiday. God's word promises rest when you die. Blessed are those who die in the Lord from now on, is a revelation. What is it? Revelation 14, verse 13. They shall rest from their labors, and their works will follow them. Until then, there's a cost. If you want to advance, or you want the kingdom of God to move, you've got to put forth energy and emotion. So Jesus is giving of himself here. Because he gives of himself, the kingdom of God advances through him. Person by person, self-denial by self-denial, cross by cross, he is prepared to help those whom he comes across who are in need. And that costs him. That road of helping will lead ultimately to the cross. His compassion, his love will lead him to the cross. And well, we might join the chorus of those in verse 37 who say he's done everything well. Because he was prepared to help whoever needed help, however costly. He was prepared to die for our sins. He will help anyone who comes to him and submits to his healing. He'll help you tonight. He's prepared to pay the cost. He'll help the kids at the holiday club tomorrow. He'll help anyone who comes to him. He'll help the people around you. Maybe he wants you, though, to help him to help them. Because who's going to help Jesus? It's interesting that they give him such a welcome in Decapolis, because he's only been there once before, and last time they told him to leave, or they asked him to leave. But remember, he sent a man off into Decapolis, the man Legion, from whom he'd cast out all those demons. And he said, Mark 5:19, go home to your family and your friends. Tell them what the Lord has done for you and how he has had mercy on you. And the man must have done it. And so he generated an excitement, an interest in this man Jesus. So when Jesus comes by the next time, some months or whatever later, they're ready for him. They know he can do great things because they've seen him transform this man from being a demonized crazy to being a man who's in his right mind, a man on a mission. So that man helped Jesus. The disciples, will they help Jesus? Well, strange, the disciples really ought to be doing some of the healing. Because before this already, doesn't tell us in Mark's Gospel, it tells us in Matthew's Gospel, before this, Matthew 10:1, Jesus gave them authority to drive out evil spirits and to heal every disease and sickness. Where are the disciples here? something's gone wrong with them already. Why are they not paying the cost? Why are they not working alongside Jesus in this ministry he's given them? Truly, Jesus had much to sigh about. The workers are few. What about you tonight? What about you tonight? Are there people in this community who love Jesus and are working for him who sigh when they see you because they just think, why is he, why is she not helping? Why are they not doing more? Why are they content just to go to church? Why the rest of the week do they just get on with their own interests? Why? Paul, remember, Paul in Philippians, oh, he said, everyone looks after their own interests, not those of Jesus Christ. He complained about Christians even, back in his day. Are you a person about whom those who are working for the kingdom of God sigh? Or are you one of those who does the sighing because you're prepared to pay the cost of serving Jesus Christ tonight? We thank God for those who serve. I thank God tonight for Benj and Joe. Like Jesus traveling to the north and to the west, far out of his normal places and comfort zones, that's what they've done. They've come up here. They've come up here from England. They've come up here from Dunfermline. They've come up to the northwest, to the wild, wild west, as we'll be seeing tomorrow in the holiday club. The wild, wild west. No doubt they've come among us and they have sighed. There have been things, no doubt, as they've looked around among us that have made them sigh. And they have sought to open things that have been too long closed. Decisions that people have made that shouldn't be made. I hope you'll all come in for a cup of tea at the end of the service, for example. They will be a blessing in Dunfermline when they go back. They'll be a blessing in the youth camp that they're going to be leading. They'll be a blessing wherever the Lord calls them. Because they're prepared to sigh. They're prepared to say, Ephatha, be opened, and to put forth the energy to open that which should not be shut. Pray the Lord of the harvest will raise up more like them. What about you? Are you devoted to an easy life? If so, you'll help no one. Will you sigh? Will you work to open the hearts and minds and lives and homes of people in this area for Jesus? Or will you just decide, Jesus, I've gone this far for you, but this is as far as I'm going just now. To quote Alistair MacLeod about Ellapool, nothing changes. When we make decisions like that, no one gets helped. If you do decide to help and to sigh and to say Ephatha, you'll not be alone. Other Christians will work with you. Jesus will work with you. It's the Spirit of God who actually does the opening. You can't open anything on a spiritual level. The tongue, the ears, the brain of this man is a miracle. Way, way, way beyond what any human being could ever accomplish. There are no magic techniques in the kingdom of God. There are no special formula. There are no tricks. So when Jesus does, verse 33, put his fingers in the man's ears and spit and touch the man's tongue, it's not some kind of magic there. It's probably just to help to increase the man's faith, because that's what other healers did. In order to make him expect something. Maybe just to make him think something's going to happen here. I don't know exactly why Jesus did that. But I know this. It wasn't putting fingers in his ears that healed him. And it wasn't spitting and touching his tongue. It was the Spirit of Jesus going into that man's mind and body. And doing things that only God can do that healed him. So while we labour and we sigh, we know that we can't open people's hearts. We know that we can't bring people to Jesus. We know that we can't give people faith. God has to do that. And we have to learn, as verse 34 shows, to look up to heaven for the source of the blessing that God would work through us. We pray for that. Why? Why would we want to do this? Finally, just let me ask, why would we want to pay this cost? Well, it is great if we can bring healing to people's lives. But we remember that people need more than just healing physically. They need to receive Jesus. Fact is, this man here might have walked away from Jesus and never bothered with him again. Just might have said, well, ta very much, that was brilliant, it's fantastic, I can hear now, I can speak now. And said, well, everything's fine. Well, it's not fine. He needs Jesus to take away his sins. So, why would we want to pay the cost? Well, it's great to make people's situation better. It's great if we can get them out of debt. It's great if we can get them off their addictions. It's great if we can relieve their physical suffering. It's great if we can relieve their emotional suffering. But they need salvation. People around us need Jesus. They need Jesus to save them from their sins. Why does Jesus in verse 36 say to them not to tell anyone about this healing? Why? Well, of course, it tests their obedience. Will they do it? Do they really think he's Lord? And they fail that test because they don't do what he says. Maybe then it's because he also doesn't want to be mobbed by people all the time. He knows that if words of these healings just get out everywhere, then people will just bring more and more people to heal, and he won't be able to minister to people individually. Like he has to do in verse 33, he takes the man aside individually. But maybe it's because he doesn't want to be doing healings all the time. I think this is most likely. Like, the reality is, he knows that the great need of people is not to be physically healed. And there are enough sick people in Galilee and Decapolis and Judea to keep Jesus busy forever healing physically. But that's not just what people need. He wants to tell them about the kingdom so that they can believe. Mark chapter 1, remember? Peter says, hey, if you've healed some guys, come back. They want you to come and do some more. And Jesus says, no, we must go to the other villages also because I must preach there. That is why I have come, he says. Is what people need is to believe in me. What people need is to receive me. What people need is what I will do for them on that cross. That's what the people of your villages and families need. Knowing about Jesus as a healer is not saving faith. We need to trust him personally. That's the way to God. So here we are tonight. We must work to ensure that people understand that they need Jesus personally and they need to come to him. And we must be prepared to pay the cost of that. However much sighing it may take, however much effort, however much of saying Ephatha, be opened. We exert the effort and the emotion so that people can receive Jesus and so that they can receive eternal life through Jesus. Will you join then in the sighing and the saying of Ephatha? Will you join those working for Christ's kingdom to open that which should not be shut, to open up the lives of the people of this community to the eternal blessings of God's kingdom? Ephatha, be opened. Let's be people who bring that message, whatever it costs us to bring it.